I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's study the Bible together a little bit this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to share with you a message entitled A Word for Christian Workers from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All right, let's... look at this together here. 1 Corinthians 3, and I'll pick up at verse 8 and read through verse 15. That's our text for today. This is the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each take heed how he builds on it. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. This is the word of the Lord. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, praise your name today, and I ask you, God, that through the ministry of your word during this time, that we as your people would have a clearer vision of who you are, God, who you have said that you are in your word, and Father, what you are doing in the world and in our lives. And Lord, what you are doing through the church. So, Father, please accomplish today all that you desire. And I thank you, Lord, for our mothers. I thank you for their service to their families, for the way that the women in this congregation serve faithfully in this church. And God, I pray that today they will even as well be encouraged and built up a little more through the truth of your word. I thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation on which we must build, the rock of our salvation. For Christ, who bore our sins on the cross, was buried and rose victoriously from the grave on the third day. God, for that gospel of Christ that saves sinners like us. Thank you for it today. And may Jesus be magnified in us. In Christ's name, amen. A word for Christian workers. We will pick up in verse 8 as we started there. And Paul, and I hope you've caught the flow of what he's dealing with here in Corinth so far. This people who in Acts chapter 18 first heard the gospel through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And then in chapter 19, Apollos came along and he went to Corinth and there preached to them as well, a man who was eloquent and mighty in the scriptures. And the Corinthians kind of got off base because they began to look more at the messenger rather than to focus on the message of the gospel and the wisdom of God that's found in that message. So they had really lost sight of the thing that they ought to be focusing on the most. And Paul is trying to bring them back around in his writing to them here to help them understand that it's not about the wisdom of men. It's not about eloquence among them, but it is about the wisdom of God through the message of the gospel, through Jesus Christ. So he's been emphasizing that. And he even says that in verse 7 that Paul is nothing, that Apollos is nothing, that is, he who plants and he who waters are not anything, but the one who is something is God who gives the increase. He even asks the question in verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? And he says, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. So continuing in verse 8, he says, continues to write, now, he who plants and he who waters are one. Apparently that Paul and Apollos, they're serving one role in God's plan as the gospel is going out. And please understand what he's saying here. The planting and the watering. The planting is not the planting of a literal seed in the ground and trying to grow crops, but it is the planting of the seed of God's Word, the seed of the gospel. And then the waterer, like Apollos, is one who comes back around, and that seed has been planted, like in Corinth, and it has brought forth some fruit. But now Apollos comes, and he is defending the faith. He is preaching the Word of God. So with many of you, all of you, I would say, the seed of the gospel has already been planted. But as we gather together and we hear the Word of God proclaimed, it is being watered. And it is, for some of you, perhaps for the first time, going to, today or in days to come, years to come, bring forth life. You may believe the message of the gospel finally one day. But for those of you who are already in Christ, as it is watered, your faith is continuing to grow and get stronger through the preaching of the Word. So the planting and the watering are working together for a common purpose of the salvation and sanctification of God's people. And Paul says in verse 8 that they're one. But then he continues on and he says, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And this is the first point. The first word for Christian workers is this, that your reward is personal. Your reward is personal. And the Bible says in Romans 2:6 that God renders to each one according to his deeds. He's not going to render to you according to somebody else's deeds. He's not going to render to Paul according to Apollos' deeds. He will not render to Apollos according to Paul's deeds. But each laborer, each one who's doing the work of the Lord will be given, will be rewarded according to his own labor. Now, there are some parables that Jesus taught that might come to mind as we think about this. The first one that I'd point out to you is in Matthew 25, verses 21 through 23. When we think about this personal reward that each one has, this is the parable of the talents. And in Matthew 25, I'll read 21 through 23 for you, and you'll get the gist of it. He says in verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So we see here that the God's reward isn't really equivalent to our labor. It is far greater than what our labor is. As Paul or Apollos would serve the Lord, he's saying here that God's going to not pay them back, but God is going to reward them for their own labor. Another one is in Luke chapter 19. Luke 19 verses 17 through 19. This is the parable of the minas. It's actually a little different than the parable of the talents. Here in Luke 19, 17 through 19, in the parable of the minas, a mina was a lesser amount of money than a talent would have been. It says this, it's very similar but different. In verse 16, then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, you have authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, You also be over 5 cities. So you see here that the equivalency is not according to man's standards, but it's according to God's standards. So God will reward each one according to his labor. Your reward is personal. The second thing that we see is in verse 9, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 says, For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Your role in Christian work is providential. It is something that God has His hand in. Something that God indeed has ordained. And Paul points this out in verse 9. For we see here that he says, For we are God's fellow workers. So he understood that his role, Paul and Apollos, their role is actually working with God on God's project. And God here has two projects that are going on. One is an agricultural project, and the other is an architectural project. Because you see in the next phrase, he says, You are God's field. And then he says next that you are God's building. Now, if I were you and sitting there taking notes, if you're doing that, I'd underline God's in all three of those. Because we see that it belongs to God. These are God's fellow workers. They are working with Him to accomplish His project. And then His project is the church, as we find here. The Corinthians are God's field. The Corinthians are God's building. And it's here that really he changes metaphors. He has been focusing on agriculture, the idea of planting and watering, but now he's going to really focus on building. And if you look down to verse 16 and 17 that we're not covering today, we'll see what the building is, what the church is, because he says in verse 16, Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. All right, so now we're shifting to this metaphor of a building. And that brings us to verse 10. If you'll look at verse 10 with me, it says, According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. All right, so here's what we see next in point number 3 is that your responsibility is pertinent. Your responsibility is pertinent. It means something. It's important. And we see Paul really breaking this down into three different, well, I'm presenting it to you in three different ways here. Three different points of pertinence when it comes to God's role or the role, the responsibility that God gives to various people in the church. First of all, we see that there's a master builder. And that master builder, according to verse 10, is the Apostle Paul. And he says that this isn't something that he obtained himself, that he was wise and therefore he became the master builder. But according to verse 10, why is it that Paul was the master builder? Does anybody see it? Why was Paul given this role of master builder? According to the what? The grace of God. That's right. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 that I am what I am by the grace of God. And that's the best that any man can do. Any man can only say that he is what he is by the grace of God. While we serve a God who is able to say, I am who I am. But we can say we are what we are only by the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul points out here that he is a wise master builder. The word master builder is actually the Greek word that's behind that is the word that we get the English word architect from. And he is here describing himself as the architect. He is as a architect, a wise master builder who has laid the foundation. And the Apostle Paul has gone out and laid this foundation. Now, what is that foundation that he has laid? We'll find it in the next verse, in verse 11. It says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ." So the foundation is Jesus. Why did Paul go and to Corinth and to other cities and determine to know, not to know anything among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified? It's because Paul knew that Christ and Him crucified is the only foundation on which the church can be built. The church cannot be built upon entertainment. The church cannot be built upon the eloquence of man's speech. The church cannot be built upon the wisdom of the world. The church must be built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So Paul went about as a wise master builder and he laid that foundation. In verse 10, he says, "And another builds on it. But let each take heed how he builds on it." Again, verse 11. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Verse 12. "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear." Third, some point here is that you have workers, and that is anyone. And I use the word anyone because if you scan these verses, you see that the word anyone is used over and over again. The anyone, though, is not just anyone out in the world, whether they are in Christ or not in Christ. His point here is that anyone in Christ, anyone on this foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, anyone who rests their life, their soul, their eternity upon Jesus Christ must build upon that foundation. Anyone, verse 11, "No other foundation can anyone lay." Verse 12, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation." Verse 14, "If anyone's work which he has built." Verse 15, "If anyone's work is burned." See, it's anyone who builds upon this foundation. I ask you this morning, what is the foundation of your life? In all honesty, as you ask yourself that question, or maybe I ask you that question, and you consider it, what is the foundation of your life? What is the foundation of your soul? What is the foundation of your hope? What is the foundation of your eternity? Because if the foundation is anything but Christ and Him crucified, then it is a foundation of sand. It is a foundation that will not withstand the trials of life nor the judgment of God. The offer of the gospel is to find in Christ a foundation that is unshakable, a foundation that is sure and steadfast, and one that can be built upon with confidence. So we see that the responsibility is pertinent. It matters. Paul's work mattered. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross mattered. And the work of each one matters. Paul actually gives some materials there in verse 13. Actually, verse 12. And there's six that are found here. Three of them are worth something. Three of them are uncommon. Three of them are difficult to come by. Three of them are lasting. However, there are three that are common. There are three that are not difficult to come by. There are three that will not endure. We see those in the first three are gold, silver, precious stones. The latter three, wood, hay, straw. In other words, what are you putting into your house? What are you putting into this foundation? What are you putting on this foundation and erecting upon it? Is it have there materials that are enduring, that are valuable? Or are there materials that will not endure and that are common and of little worth? That's the question. Now, you might ask, what is he talking about here? It could very well be that the gold, silver, and precious stones is going back to the wisdom of God through the gospel. And the Corinthians were in danger of perhaps listening to teachers or preachers who were encouraging them or leading them to build upon the foundation of Christ with things that were not according to the Word of God. Things that were not according to the glorious gospel of Christ. Let me give you three references from the Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 15. Proverbs 3, 13 through 15. And what I'll do is point out here how the wisdom of God and understanding are equivalent to gold and silver and precious stones. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. All right, well, I'll stop right there. I'm going to save all the words I can. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. Here he says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, and if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." You see silver in there and the importance of seeking after this treasure. And then Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. Maybe I'll get that cough out eventually. Proverbs 8, 10 through 11. "Receive my instruction and not silver. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." You see how the wisdom of God is better than gold, silver, and rubies. And so I wonder, as we look at 1 Corinthians 3, if the gold and silver and precious stones that Paul is referring to here that are building up this house on the foundation, this building upon the foundation, is because it is on the wisdom of God from God's Word. Take that into consideration. Our fourth point comes from verses 13 through 15. in 1 Corinthians 3. Here, picking up a few words into verse 13, Paul says about this one's work that it will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, as you think about those six different materials, which ones are going to hold up in the fire?
Yeah, the first three.
The last are going to burn up. They're going to be gone. So they're going to be tested by fire. Everyone who builds upon the foundation of Christ as a Christian worker, what they have erected is going to be tested by fire. Some will endure, some will not. Verse 14, he says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So, last point is your reveal is profound for the Christian worker. Your reveal is profound. And I say this because in verse 13 he says, because it will be revealed by fire. What the Christian worker has done and why he has done it, what he has trusted in, whether it's perhaps the Word of God or man's own wisdom, will one day be revealed. Now we see that his work is not the basis of his salvation. He will be saved because the basis of our salvation is Christ crucified. However, there are those who build upon Christ crucified with materials that will be burned up. As one commentator pointed out, in some cases it will be like a man jumping from the building which he himself erected throughout his life, because it is being devoured by the flames of God's judgment, of God's making clear what his life was really about. Have y'all ever seen the show Fixer Upper? Chip and Joanna Gaines? Most of us probably have. It's a good show. We like to watch it at our house. They'll take an old house that's being, you know, purchased, obviously, and they'll fix it up. And then at the end of the show, they'll bring the people in who bought the house and then, you know, had them to fix it up for them. And they'll have a big picture of the old house, what it looked like. And then the people will be standing there, and the big picture is between the owners of the home and the home that's on the other side of this huge picture. So they're sitting there looking at what their old house, the original purchased house, looked like. Chip and Joanna Gaines will be on each side, and they'll look at the couple and say, are you ready to see your fixer-upper? And then they'll pull back the screen, and the people will look, and they're always in awe of how great it looks. Oh, what an amazing difference it makes. And I just thought, man, on that day, we're going to have in our minds what our house ought to look like based upon what we've done. And then the fires of God's purity and refining get a hold to our works. And then God says, are you ready to see your house? And that screen's pulled back. And I wonder how many of us are going to be like, wow, that's more amazing than I would have ever imagined. Or if we'll be like, oh, man, I wish I would have built more wisely. Because this passage is telling us that it's going to become absolutely clear one day what we did with the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified as those who are working to build up the temple of God. I have 3 points of application. Number one brings us back to our moms and to our Christian women. The first one is this. Christian mothers, women, have the unique role of working with God by introducing the gospel to children and teaching sound doctrine that is according to this glorious gospel in those same lives. I've heard Sherry comment about this, and I know Joy Simmons, who teaches our very smallest children, I guess almost the youngest class that we have as far as small groups go. And, you know, I've told Sherry, you know, Joy can do this on her own, Sherry. She's got help. Her, Christy, they can handle it. And you can go on and be working, doing something else. But Sherry's like, how much she loves that class. And she said something one day that helped me realize why she loves that class so much. It's because when they get to teach the kids things like the resurrection of Jesus, for many of them, for some of them, it's the first time that they ever really like focused in and realized a man that was dead rose again from the dead. And he lives forevermore. And they're like, that doesn't happen. Even small children, no, that doesn't happen unless you're the Son of God. So the seed of the gospel is planted, and then week after week it's watered with sound doctrine that's taught in those classes. Mothers at home, you have the amazing privilege of doing the very same thing on a daily basis. Don't diminish that or neglect that. Second point is this. And this might be a little confusing, but I think it's worth trying to say. Recognize the role of others for yourself and yourself for others in God's plan of redemption. In other words, who planted and watered in your life? So that God, through that, brought you to faith in Jesus. And now, who are you able to plant and to water in other people's lives, anticipating that God will bring forth the increase according to His perfect will? And then the last point is this. Build well, brethren. Build well. For the day will declare it. Thank you for your attention and for enduring my coughing this morning. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus that your word now would have a mighty effect in us, that we might perhaps realize again, God, and realize afresh that what we are building absolutely matters. As Christian workers, we've been given this strong foundation, this only foundation. God, let us build upon it. I pray, Father, for anybody this morning who knows that they're destined for eternal wrath of God because they're separated from Jesus and have not this foundation in their life. Oh, Lord, I pray they would come to Jesus, believing in Him and His death, burial, and resurrection. And let us all, Lord, Let us all remember afresh what Christ has done to save us and those whom you've used to bring us to yourself. In Christ's name, amen.